He got him.
And welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm your host, Dougie Almeida, calling you or coming from Danger Studios in Simpsonville, South Carolina.
You get the action.
Anyway, I have a great show for you today. Joining us, my guest, special guest, comedian and actor, Stephen Michael Quesada. And of course, comedian Key Lewis. What's up, fellas?
Hey.
How you doing, man?
What's happening?
And Stephen is actually on an FBI assignment at the moment, chasing down crack rockheads. I don't know what the fucking thing was. But so we appreciate
it. They're fast, as you can tell, man. Look how fast they're running. They're running. I'm in the car.
He's the he's all the Latino dog, the bounty hunter. He's doing it.
That's right. That's right. Latino, the Chihuahua hunter.
I guess we are all Hispanics on this program at the moment.
Well, I look Hispanic. I can play one, but I'm just half black, half white, and I look Mexican. That's how that worked out.
Wow.
But that's what a Mexican is.
That's right. But if you know history, that's right. That is exactly right.
People think this is a podcast, but it's actually a lesson for everybody. I always like to start with where we last see each other and met. Key, we just met at the Stir Crazy Comedy Club at the Cactus Comedy Classic.
Yes, yes. It was good times, man. It was a pleasure meeting you, sharing the stage. We had a great few days of funny and glad to link up with you for sure.
Absolutely. I made it to the semifinals. You made it to the finals, you bastard. And they did great. It's funny, and you know, it's funny when you meet people like that. You know right away. The first 10 seconds we were talking, I'm like, this guy's off. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You can tell like we're all the same. And so it's always, that's the best part about comedy and being on the road, is meeting people. And of course, Stephen, you and I worked together. We met at the Comedy Cabana in Myrtle Beach, amidst the pandemic.
I know, man. That was crazy stuff, man.
That was your first gig on the road, right? That was the first time you actually got out of the house, you're saying.
I did, man. I went, I did that, and then I just kind of stayed home again for a while until they started really getting the vaccine out. Then, I don't care, man. I mean, hey, I've had a good life, you know. I just don't want to spread it to someone else, so I want to make sure that my mom lives as long as she possibly can, and my wife does too. So I kind of chilled. I took that risk because I couldn't stay in the backyard no more, bro. I was in the backyard for too long, man. And so I had to get out of the backyard for a minute. And then, you know, I kind of, once the vaccine started coming out, I went back out. So I did Cleveland, I did Chicago, and then I just shot my comedy special with Tribeca Films at the Tribeca Film Festival in New York on Tuesday of last week.
Nice.
So, yeah, man, I'm excited. I'm excited.
Congratulations, bro. That's dope.
That's awesome.
Thank you, man. Yeah. Thank you.
Whenever I was touring with folks or I was working with people, especially during all this, the first thing I would tell people would be like, hey, I had COVID already. So don't worry about me, like, you know, drinking out of the same glass or, you know, sitting on the toilet seat. That's, I don't know. You know what I mean? But I don't know if you've ever done the Comedy Cabana, a very nice place, nice condo and stuff like that. So we had a space and stuff. And we had a great show. The great thing about that place is you're working like Monday through Saturday. Right. I mean, it's like a whole week of work.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's like the Laugh Factory in Vegas, man. You're like, you got to do the two shows a night for a week. It's like, really? Did I really want to work this hard? I thought I picked a career where I didn't have to work that hard, man.
Why are you making, that's a lot of show.
Making it like a job now? Yeah. You're making it like a job. I'm going to have to quit.
Is it like 10? Is it like 10 shows? Is 5 days and two shows a night?
The seven days, two shows a night, the whole
14
week.
Show. Hey, but you're solid, though. When you come off of that, you're solid. Your set is right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're ready to tape something, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome. I got the host there for Tom Rhodes at the Vegas Laugh Factory. And you're right. You know, it's like there's nothing better because when you have that many days in a row, you're like working on stuff. You know, you're just getting in a rhythm and change this up. And but you're right. It's, you know, here's the thing, because I don't know about you guys, but as a comic, I feel really weird when I have a regular day. Like if there's no comedy at night, you know what I mean? I just sit there and I get like, I guess I can watch TV, you know, or something.
But the crazy part about 14 shows in Vegas, if you drink or you gamble, by game by show four, you're already shot to shit. You know what I'm saying? So, so you got to kind of pace yourself.
And you're broke, so you have to show up to work. That's right. Nobody wins in Vegas, man.
That's right.
So. That is depressing. I was down a few hundred bucks my first few days at the blackjack table. And all I could think about was like, well, I got to go to work just to pay for my losses. Get that check.
Yeah, see, that's why I don't gamble, Doug. I don't gamble, man. I work too hard for my money, man.
I heard you that. Know?
Well, I hear you. And I actually did pretty well. I got real lucky on some bets and made some money on that gig. But, well, listen, I'm glad you guys are here. And through all this going on, Stephen, glad you're here with us. And you can tell you're in Albuquerque because it looks like you're dealing with, you know, it looks like a UFO is over your car right now with all that light hitting you. I mean, what is the temperature in Albuquerque? Because I know in L.A. and in California, you guys are dealing with triple-digit heat.
Yeah, man, we're 93 now, but for the week before this and up to today, we were hitting 199. I was telling everybody, welcome to the Serengeti, man, because it is hot, bro. But, you know, I'm glad I'm not in Arizona, though.
My daughter was
in Arizona, 115, she said.
Yeah, it's horrible.
I don't know how anybody could walk the streets. I was in Tucson, Arizona once, and it was like 118 degrees. And I went downstairs, asked the lady where the closest Starbucks was. She goes, there's one in walking distance. I'm like, is it in the parking lot? It's 118 degrees out there. I ain't walking around in that.
Hey, Dougie.
Even the homeless people ain't walking around in Phoenix, Matt.
It's the dry heat.
You don't even see them out. Yeah, they're like, no thanks. I'm good. I'm going to stay in the shelter today.
I said they hit me with that. It's a dry heat. I like that shit. That's hilarious.
It's a dry 115. Oh, man. I do not like humid heat. I've been down there performing down like in the Bahamas and stuff. And I'm going to tell you something, man. I'm not used to that. I'm used to dry heat. And I was afraid I was going to grow a plant out my ass, man. I'm not used to my ass sweating like that.
He was leaking.
So I didn't eat anything with the seed, bro. I didn't eat nothing with the seed. Because what does it take to grow a plant, right? It takes some moisture, some fertilizer, and a seed.
You got it all there.
Dry heat. I'm used to it. I'm a reptile. I'm from this area, so I'm good.
That's funny.
And I'm a Mexican, so I don't sweat because I got to hold on to my water, bro. Because you never know what's going to happen in the future.
That's right.
You got to retain that water, bro. That's all I say.
I wish I could learn that trick because I sweat my ass off. That's why we left Florida. Because, you know, I was getting tired of getting the mail out of the post box outside and sweating my ass off. So now we're in Greenville, South Carolina, where it's not as humid. But there ain't nothing worse than like sitting there with, you know, you feel the sweat dripping down your back through your ass crack. And then, you know, like you said, you know, it's disgusting. But we're glad you're all here. Well, you know.
Nice segue.
Thank you very much. I'm a professional. So so one of the things, we had some topics. I don't know if you guys got a chance to say it, but here's some topics we're going to cover today. First of all, what keeps you up at night, fellas? You know, as a comic, I mean, one of the things that keeps me up at night is an empty calendar, right? If I'm looking at as a comic, I want to perform. What are some of the things that keep you up at night?
I got daughters, man. So for me, man, it's these little boys. It's just constantly running around trying to, you got three of them, so it's a constant battle. You understand what I mean? So I'm worried about these little boys. My wife is beautiful, been with her for 30 years, so erections keep me up at night if I don't get that action, because she's about a 7 o'clock in the evening. And if I don't get it around that time, ain't nothing popping off. So the boners keep me up at night. The boys, I shouldn't have put them together like that. That's a little awkward.
Yeah, you got a lot. Got a cock fest going on. Yeah.
So, yeah. So I raised three daughters myself. And what keeps me up at night is my wife is shopping at night, man. There's no end. There's no end to shop. But I can see I'm asleep, and then there's this light, and I think the Lord has come for me. And right? And then open my eyes, and it's my wife flipping through Amazon, man. I go, you know, it's 2 a.m, honey. She goes, I know, man, but TikTok told me to buy this. And TikTok right. told me to buy that, you know? And I'm like, I go, baby, I get up. She goes, where are you going? I go, I need to go to work. I got paid for all that, man.
Yeah. It's true. My wife uses my Amazon account. So every time she orders something, I get the email. Yeah, I'm like, you know, yeah, thank you, Dougie, for ordering this. I'm like, I didn't order that shit. You know,
I know, because I have the Prime, and she wants the Prime, so she uses my account. And you know, it don't matter because the card's the same anyway, man. We have the joint account, so so the money's gone anyway. So, you know, but she's happy. She's happy, and you know, I'm good with that. My daughters are grown. I still got to deal talking with men. I got to talk with men now. Boys are, I can scare boys, man. Men ain't that scared, man, because, you know, they're looking for a wife, right? So they're a little braver.
Yeah.
I feel for you, bro. I've been there, man.
Yeah, it's all good.
You have to be cool, though. You have to be cool. I'm going to give you some advice. You have to be cool, man, because if you try to play that card, I don't want no boy, you know, they'll do it behind your back, bro. And bad things happen in the shadows. And me and you know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because we probably met our old lady in the shadow, man. And so, you know, I like to keep everything in the light, man. So I support it. I'm cool with them. I could look at them in the eye. And, you know, at least I know what they look like, right?
That's right.
If you don't, they're doing that shit on the sly, bro.
I invite everybody over. Like, that's my whole thing. I don't care if it's girls, boys, because you don't know you don't question which direction your kids are going or what they got going on. But I just love to meet the people that they associate with, like, and touch them. Yep. You know what I'm saying? Like, put my hands on their hands so they understand and feel me as a person. So when I communicate to you, I'm not BSing you. I'm letting you know this is my baby girl. This is my most important person in my life, and just make sure that you appreciate her like I appreciate her. I ask that of everybody. So, but I hear you, you're right. Yeah. We was all kids, and I just like to create a little bit of awkwardness with the boys. You know what I mean? Like,
I do too.
You know what I'm saying? But I do definitely. I'm pretty candid. You know, I talk to them about stuff. I joke with real issues and real things, but I try to keep it light as well. But also plant a seed. Because I was 17, 18, 19 years old. So I get it. You know what I mean?
And we remember those days. And, you know, and it's funny you should say that, because now being a comedian or actor comedian, do you think these young lads, you think these fellas take that for granted? Like, they think maybe, oh, he's going to be all jokes and shit. You know what I mean? He's going to understand because he's a comic. You think sometimes they think that?
Well, a lot of these guys, they think I'm Gomez from Breaking Bad, man. So, you know. I think there's a little fear in that, right? But it's like, dude, that's not real, man. But I will kick your ass, and I do have a gun on me.
I heard that. I think once they see what I do, everyone always has that little thing where it's like, I'll ask my wife, is he funny at home or what is he? And I'm a real ass person. I mean, all I do is share stories and punch up things, right? So, but
yeah.
I'm real big on making that person know that this ain't no jokey jokes. This is for real.
Yeah.
You know, because I keep it 100, but at the same time, if I let you know something and I put information out and then you don't abide by it, then we got a problem. And that's with anybody though, right? So I just treat everybody like they're adults. And like you said, I mean, I say boys because to me, you know, I'm a man and these are my girls. And you're right, though. They are. Some of them are young men. But the accountability is big for me because I had to go through it. I had an OG father-in-law, and he still, you know, support the park, been stabbed, shot, you know, just a, and he wasn't playing, but he was so subtle, and he just he demanded respect on every end, and I kind of carried that with me. I'm not out here being an asshole, and I'll jokey joke, ha ha ha, but I'll beat your ass, you know. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I don't literally want to do that, but if it had to happen over my kids, it has to happen, you know.
Yeah. I only had one of those incidents once with my stepdaughter. Like, it was funny. They sold us this bag of good. They were all going to Disney World, you know? And my stepdaughter was like, it's okay. Her boyfriend at the time, Nick's aunt's going to be there with us. And I'm thinking, okay, an aunt, you know, you think some old lady. Her aunt was 19 years old. You know? They ended up staying in the same hotel. They were 16 years old, you know? And I'm like,
yeah, that's how Latinos are, man. It's like, you know, it's like, hey, when I was a kid, they go, you want to go out and play? I go, yeah, let me change my uncle's diaper and I'll meet you out there. And they're like, your uncle's diaper? I go, yeah, dude, I don't have time to explain that, bro. I don't have time to explain that.
Hilarious.
That's my uncle. You know, and that's just how it is, man. Yeah, there's some. So I always have to meet. Back then, I'd have to meet people for my daughters went anywhere.
Yeah.
They hated it, but they now love me for it, right?
Yeah.
They love me for it now.
That's great that they did that. My stepdaughter did the same thing to me years ago. She was like, you know, you used to always say these things to me and I get mad at you, because I was a stepdad, which is like a substitute teacher. You know, you don't have that same respect. Yeah. So, you know, after a while, so then when she was like 18, 19 years old, 20 years old, she used to say, you know, I'm glad that you used to at least do that little bit, you know, and it pays off.
Yeah, because think about this, Dougie. You give somebody a moment, it changes everything, because the idea of a father or a brother, you know, oh, his brother or his dad, they're probably this or that. But when you give somebody a moment, now you create a relationship. Even if it's just 2 minutes of embracing somebody that's a stranger that has this hidden agenda, whatever they're going to try to do with your daughter, now they know you.
Yeah.
That's huge in life. You give somebody a moment, man, it can change everything. I'm big on that. Like, yeah, it doesn't matter who you are. I can talk to you just like we met in that club, right? We gave each other a moment. And we realize that we cool. Same thing with kids, you know, then it changes a little bit. It's like, okay, this is a person. He's real. He looked at me in my eyes. He talked to me. He had his pistol in his hand. I understand where the fuck he's going.
I get where he's coming from. I get where he's coming from. And I do understand what he means.
That's right. I'm not going to bullshit you, though. I'll probably get my ass beat by some of these dudes because they big, but here's the idea. I feel like as long as I'm confident and I show him that I think I can, that's all that matters. You know what I mean? Man, I might not win, but I'm going to try, you know.
Yeah. So. Nothing more embarrassing than trying to kick some dude's ass who's messing with your daughter. He beat your ass.
Yes, that's right.
You tell your dad I'm coming over.
Oh, no, I ain't going.
No.
No, man. You know, most of these kids, they've been – all the kids that my daughters brought home are respectable, man.
That's so right. Yeah, yeah.
I was fortunate. I didn't have no cocky punk ass that I had to, you know, threaten. So I was lucky.
That's good.
But I grew up in the hood. But I grew up in the hood, bro. I don't, you know, I'll get back up.
That's right. That's right. That's what I'm talking about.
I'll keep getting back up, man. And then if you kick my ass at the end of that, well, you're gonna have to lose my daughter's number.
Yes, right. Forever.
So you better let me win.
That's a deal breaker.
You better let me win, motherfucker.
Oh shit. That's hilarious.
He's gotta throw the fight to keep the hand hand in love.
He does, bro.
Hey, but that says something about how you raise your kids though, because you tattoo something in them as far as respect, they're not gonna bring home some bullshit. Like, I know my daughters, they pay attention because everybody I've pretty much met has been real respectful. And they've already kind of said, hey, you're not, my dad's not, he's going to talk to you. Like, you don't think that it's going to be comfortable. Like, he's, you know, that's all we can do is instill a little bit in them to where we hope they make rational decisions and they don't bring home some bullshit, you know.
That's so exactly.
If they bring home bullshit, you didn't do a good job.
Well, let me ask you this. That was another part of our topic here. But I don't know, like, Key and I were talking before the show, like, I had three older brothers. My father never hit me because I was in fear of being hit. Like, I just feared, like, I didn't, Like, I didn't want my father to be mad at me. You know what I mean? My mother would say, go in your room and wait for your father to get home. And that'd be the longest wait. You know what I mean? I'd be like, oh, no, what am I going to do? And I wouldn't open the door. And my father would be like, open the door. Douglas, open it. I'm like, I'm not going to open the door. He's like, you better open it. I'm like, okay, I'm opening the door. You know, I'm going to piss him off. But, you know, but my father, my brothers got hit. You know what I mean? But my brothers got hit because they were idiots. Because we all took martial arts. And there's a point in time where my brothers thought they can use the karate on my dad. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that I was telling Keith one time I was at that age, 11 years old, where I saw my brother kick my dad in the nuts and it flipped me out. And I beat the crap out of my brother over that. And, you know, so my question is, do you think parents nowadays, because everybody says none of that, but do you think parents should hit their kids?
You want to lead with that, OG?
So for me, man. I think you gotta do that one spank when they're young, and you know, and it doesn't have to be a violent thing. It could just be one good rap on the ass, just so they know what could happen. Now, Doug, you've seen my show. I do this whole thing about grounding and you know, whooping on some ass and shit. But the reality is, you know, that's something that I overblown comedy act, but. And what I did was, and I felt bad because I rapped one of them on the ass while the other two were all three of them were in the room, and the other two said, oh, hell no, man, I don't ever want that to happen to me. So the other ones didn't even ever get a rap in the ass. And the one that got a rap in the ass, I laid her on the side, pulled her to the side, and we talked it through and told her, I didn't mean to get so upset that I hit you. Because what you did really wasn't that bad, but you're not listening, and it, you know, and so that's disrespectful. And I need you to respect me because you're the oldest, and your sisters look up to you, and they see the relationship me and you have. And I said, and I promise you, I will never ever give you a spank again. And you know, and she was, you know, 7 or 8, you know, so. But she never forgot it. And that daughter has been on the straight and narrow ever since, man. And so the other two are of fear, like you didn't want to test your dad. You're like, hell no.
It's so like you said.
So the other two, the other girls didn't ever test me again. And you know, not until later teenagers. So I don't think you should spank a kid, but I think you should be able to beat the shit out of a teenager. But you can't.
Okay, I feel so much better. I feel so much better. At least you feel the same sentiment as I did. Like, sentiment. We went on the same page.
I want to kick some ass, man, but you can't. Because that's not a spanking. That's an ass whooping.
That's and assault.
And that's the thing. The teenagers hit back. And it's true what you said. Because I think what ended up happening with me is that I felt for my father. Like, in other words, I respected what he was trying to do. You know, my brothers would come home stoned. You know, it'd be so funny. They'd walk into the kitchen at midnight, you know, and my dad would walk into the kitchen like, oh, here we go, you know. And he'd turn on the lights and he'd look at him and be like, let me look at your eyes. My brother would be like, what's up? You always got to look at my eyes. You always got to look at my eyes. Because my dad knew when they were smoking weed and shit. Besides, they're getting the munchies at, you know, 12 in the morning. And you know, and I would just sit there and I'd be like, I don't know, I was like 11, 12. Like, I'd be like, they're idiots. You know, they don't realize what they're doing, you know. I mean, I lived vicariously through that, right? But in that, like you said, I learned from that. I'm like, I don't ever want to deal with that. You know what I mean? I want to be good. And that's what I grew up. I'm like, I don't want to ever be that burden on my parents as bad as these guys were. So yeah, maybe when they're young, you know, but yeah, you're right. When they're teenagers and stuff, then it turns into a fracas. Then it turns into, because they can hit back and shit. And I've seen that happen. I used to coach soccer and it was this 15-year-old kid. He was a troubled kid, you know? And his father was trying to tell him off and he's getting him. He grabbed him by the arm and he hit the car. I'm surprised. I had friends that would curse at their parents. I could never believe that. Like, fuck you, mom. Man, and I'd be like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
No.
You know what I mean? You see that disrespect. But but it's amazing that you got to earn their respect off right off the bat. Right.
I mean, that's the way it works. My pops, my father was bipolar. So we're dealing with a rational person that's super intelligent, but then he would fall off solely based on his mental illness. And you never really knew what you was going to get. Like, it was pretty frequent episodes, but as far as a disciplinarian, like this dude was, would not tolerate disrespect. Like it was, there was no, you know, and I'm not, I wasn't catching whoopings. I was catching fists. And the discipline though, probably wasn't the best way to go about it. But the level of respect I had for my pops growing up, like I didn't cuss in front of my father as an adult.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, but the lessons I took away, like I don't treat my daughters like my father treated me, and but it was necessary. I didn't need somebody to toss a ball around or take me hiking. I needed somebody to give me that act right, teach me about respect, and then repeat.
Yeah.
Because that was the kid that I was. And my daughters now, the oldest one, you know, a couple times, just like you said, when she was younger, I had to discipline. The lying thing came up. One time she had took an Oreo cookie. I didn't have a problem with her taking an Oreo cookie, but it was the idea that I asked if you had asked for it. She said no. And I asked her again when I knew she had taken it, and she said no two or three more times. I said, babe, did you tell her she could have a cookie? And she's like, dad, I didn't get a cookie. I said, open your mouth. And the black Oreo cookie was in her teeth. And you know what I'm saying? So just based on the idea that she lied, I had to pop her on her ass. But it was a wake-up call. My middle daughter, she's my hippie. She's the earthy one. She's not, does not do well with not paying attention or listening because she doesn't want to have conflict. Never had to really do too much with her. But my baby, the 13-year-old, we have a problem because we just alike, and we struggle with respect and but the thing that she has to understand is I'm dad, and even though we don't like each other as people, we still love one another. Do you guys understand that? Like, but I it hurts me to have to pop her, but I have to make sure that she's prepared, because if she goes out into the world thinking she can just pop off and do what she want to do, it's not going to work out because the world is not as forgiving as I am. Yeah. You know,
but that's the thing when it comes down to this. When it comes down to this, you know, I only had a stepdaughter. Not someone once said, "Do you have any kids?" I used to teach martial arts and coach soccer, especially the martial arts. I had a mother come up to me. He's like, "Do you have any kids?" I said, "No, I don't." But I got 350 kids in this school. I got to put discipline in, and that's the thing. You know, you want them. You just need them to understand that. And like you said, you know, sometimes the kids, they put themselves like you, that she's so much like you that she thinks like you, like I'm going to be you. If I do this, then you should do that. Like they put you at that same level, and it could be different. It would definitely be difficult. But I got to tell you, it is hard because, you know, you want to tell them that, look, either I'm going to hit you or life's going to hit you.
That's right.
Right. And life is not going to pull the punch. Life is going to just bury you into the ground. And not care a bit about your feelings.
Take it from somebody that's had life experience. It's so hard to tell because we've made mistakes, right? Like I've done shit and I'm just like, baby, if you could just hear me out and understand, like I already know because I you're struggling with your temper and I'm 48 years old and I still struggle with my temper, but you got to get a hold of it because
you got to get a grip on it.
Got to get a grip on that shit, you know?
So. Yeah, I think after, you know, I mean, I fought all the way growing up. I grew up in a very violent, you know, neighborhoods. You know, I like Doug, I took karate for a long time. I boxed. My dad was a Golden Glove nominee for the Olympic boxing team. Damn. When he was young. You know, I had all brothers. I'm the youngest. So I have no fear. And that wasn't a good thing. You know, everybody thinks to have no fear is wow, that's a great thing. No, it's a bad thing. You know, because there have been times where I should have had fear and I should have walked away. And, you know, I'm lucky. I was blessed, man, to walk away from that situation alive. And so I had to teach my daughters a different way, you know. And it was when, you know, I came home from college. I started gang intervention programs here in Albuquerque, you know, and I started teaching these kids another way, man. There was another way, and that violence, you know, is not going to get you nowhere, you know, unless you're going to be a professional MMA or boxer. Violence ain't going to do you nothing. Your temper, right, is not going to do you nothing. It's gonna put you in situations that you could have talked your way, you know, into a different situation. Yeah. And to use your mind and use your intelligence. And so I was blessed to be able to, you know, be a part of that for a lot of young lives here in Albuquerque. And that's the path that took me onto a better path. And, you know, I think comic wise is because of that,
I look through a lens of laughter and funny. And when you look through that, when you're purposely looking through that lens, in my opinion, it should make you a calmer, nicer, thoughtful human being. Because what's cool about comics is we look at all sides. We choose to pick a side, but we look at all sides of an issue, and then we choose to pick a side, whether we support it or we're going to make fun of it or we're not even going to talk about it at all, right?
Yeah.
So, but we have that ability to look at things through a different lens, and we're blessed to have that. Because I'll be honest with you, you know, I'm a county commissioner here in Albuquerque. And I listen to other commissioners while we're up there trying to make decisions, and their thought process, man, is just, I just don't get it. I'm just like, you're only looking at a portion of that. You know what I mean? And they don't care because they don't want to look at everything, right? They just want to look at a portion of something and make a decision based on that. And that's very frustrating. And that's where our country is right now, man. There's no compromise. There's no, let's look at all sides. You know, it's either my side or no side.
It's a great point.
And we're headed in the wrong direction.
That's a great point, because right here in Florida in the last 2 days, this is Pride Month, right? So in one of the highest capacity gay communities in the country, at Wilton Manors, Florida, they had a parade a day or two ago. I think it was yesterday. And the news broke out live on the news that somebody had driven a truck into the parade and killed. It really hurt somebody and killed somebody in the parade. Yeah. So when I was on the Facebook live feed of the news, you know, you're hearing all the shit. Oh, it's probably a Trumper, you know, this and that. And then the mayor of Wilton Manors goes on there and says, this was an act of terrorism. Well, everybody's freaking out. Nobody's looking at all possibilities. Everybody just wants to be correct and just using the whatever they feel, their emotions. Turns out the guy in the truck was in the parade. He was a 77-year-old gay man in the parade. He knew the people he hit. And he accidentally hit the gas pedal. You know what I mean? He was trying to inch the, you know, in a parade, moving that parade pace. Yeah. And he accidentally, you know, 77-year-old got a little heavy foot and ran somebody over. Meanwhile, you have all these people just condemning and pointing a finger.
Oh, yeah.
Just ready to just lash out at it, you know? And that's, you're right. That's a big problem. People want to know everything. They can't just sit back and maybe look at all possibilities, right?
It's the news channels, right? You put it on Fox and Fox says, see, look at the Democrats did. Then you put it on CNN and say, see, look what the Trumpers did. And none of them actually know what the hell happened.
They don't care.
That's not what they're not selling that, Doug. Neither side are selling the truth, bro.
Yep.
I'm very upset with both sides, man. We need a middle ground, man. We need to start electing people who, once you're elected, you're actually not in a party anymore. You actually got to represent your constituents, which are Democrats and Republicans. You got to represent everybody in that, within your boundaries. And there's absolutely no district that has just one party in it. Now there may be a majority of one party than the other, but there is no district that doesn't have both parties, and you got to talk to both sides, and you got to come to the middle, and you got to figure things out. You know, we're fighting for minimum wage here in New Mexico, and, you know, and the business community's mad, and they're like, well, you know, we can't pay people $15 an hour. I said, well, you have to, because people aren't making it. And so we fight, we get to the middle. They decide, well, okay, we're gonna do it because you guys voted for it, and they're mad, and we do it, and guess what happens? Then the landlords turn around and raise the rent $400 more a month. So the $15 that we fought for and got was gone by the next month, because now all the landlords decided, yeah, well, we'll just raise the rent.
Yeah.
And how do you like that?
Or replace those workers with robots. Or, you know, and you know, this is in that whole, listen, that whole minimum wage, the theory or discussion or debate is very challenging, because, you know, I am of the philosophy, like, look, everybody's, you got to be fair wage. But at the same time, as somebody who's hired people, you know, and you look at it, some of these, like, we need, people need to forget about college. People need to learn trades. People need to learn skills. There's a lot of people out there that Yeah, I remember for a while there, me and my financial planning office, we were just trying to hire somebody to answer the phones. You think that ain't that hard. And you're like, oh my God, these people don't even have an answer the phone. Like, and it's, you know, so so in other words, it's an issue, right? It's an issue. People aren't earning money, but at the same time, people aren't getting the education they need. People aren't getting the training they need. People aren't, it's like a huge storm. And you know, so it's almost in a sense, everybody's got a right aspect of it, but until somebody sits down and goes, hey man, this is the real issue. We got to fix this problem. You know,
well, this is the thing is that, so my point is they're all against it. But once it's voted in and we pay everybody $15 an hour, those same people who voted against it turned around and raised their rent. So they got the money back anyway. So we didn't help anybody anyhow. Yeah. Right. And they're back there laughing going, yeah, okay, we'll pay them $15 an hour. But they own all the fucking apartment complexes and the rental properties because they're the rich people, Dougie. And so yeah, they get the money
good,
back.
Put on paper.
Yeah. Yeah, and they get the money back. So we didn't help nobody.
Yeah, and that's a whole problem with that whole debate is the economics of it. You know, you raise a certain level, then costs go up. Look what we're dealing with now. We're dealing with the potential for inflation, and what it could cause by all this money hitting the system with all this, you know, the government aid and stuff helping people, which is great. But what happens is there's so much money in the system now. There's all the shit is well. There's not enough chicken wings. God dang it! I can't get a chicken wing anywhere.
I'm gonna go in here right now and get some chicken wings. My wife is texting me going, "Where's dinner?" so hey guys, I gotta fly. I gotta go, man. I gotta take care of my daughters are there and there's family there, and I told them I'd pick up the food, man. I'm sorry that this happened.
It's all good, man.
I appreciate you guys taking the moment to hang out with me and rap with me. And, you know, maybe in the future we could do it again and talk about other stuff. You guys keep going. It's my pleasure to meet you both.
Yeah, man.
Or not meet you both, but to hang out with you and Dougie, to see you again. You're a good man.
Thanks, bro.
Even though you're a Republican, you're a great man. and me and you, we had plenty of debates when we spent the week together, but at the end of the day, me and you compromised, and that just goes to show that everybody could compromise if we just make that effort to do so and look at the other side and look at the shoes that someone else is wearing. That's all. That's all we're asking, and both sides. That's all both sides are asking. And if we can get there, then there's hope for us. If we can't get there, then we got to focus on what's happening outside our window and elect those people to make the change within your own neighborhood and let the federal government blow it up if that's what's going to happen.
That's right.
Hey, I don't know if you guys agree, but they need to hold these meetings in the green room at a comedy club because we got some great influential people, man. They got a lot of good things to talk about and say without being biased. You know what I'm saying? That's
and I'll go back to comedians. Look at everything all around it. They look at a situation or a subject, and they look at all sides of it. They may not agree with all sides, but they look at all sides, and that's what keeps us open-minded.
You don't have to agree with somebody, but you can respect. You know, that's the thing.
Right.
It's one thing if somebody has an opinion simply because that's what somebody's telling them to think. It's one thing if somebody has an opinion because that's what they feel. You know, they that comes from something inert that they have, and that's what happened with you and I. The same thing with me and Joey Medina. You know, Joey and I are completely opposites, but we still love each other. We still hear, you know, and that's the thing. We all grow from that, right? We all get a little bit from each other, and we all understand each other a little better. And then that's what helps in getting enlightenment, you know, enlightening us to know the whole picture and more of the picture. I don't know if we ever know the whole picture, but we definitely know more of it and more of it. So, but thank you. Thank you so much for joining us, Stephen. God bless you, my friend. And I look forward to seeing you again on the road.
Take care, Steve.
Yeah. Okay, guys. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, brother. Peace.
All right. Well, thanks for Stephen for joining us. And he was dealing with some stuff, and we're glad he joined us, right? I mean, you know, some people would have just bailed, right? Key, I mean, they were in a business where somebody said, I just won't answer the phone. But he jumped in and dealing with everything he's dealing with. So I'm glad he joined us.
Yeah, his family lost a loved one, brother. So for him to give us some minutes during that is awesome. It shows who he is, you know.
That's it, man. And, you know, it's true. We say, you know, people like it's funny. We're talking about that, like comedy, I don't know if I should say that at that festival, or I shouldn't say at the festival, there was a comedian there who we did another show And I did, you saw my act, right? You saw, yeah. So this person followed me at this other show, and they go on stage and they go, well, I got to wipe this mic down because that racist comic was up here and saying shit. And I was like, did that person just call me a racist? You know what I mean? And it, what shocked me was, is that for the most part, comics, no matter how different we are, right? We still, you know, for the most part, we're still like, we still respect each other, because that's, you know, we're coming down, we're off our own lanes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're coming for, we have our own point of origination. You know, we are being, well, we have that normal understanding and respect for each other because we've been doing it. You know, we know what it's like to be here. We know what it took to get here, right? To be in these contests or be a comic, a working comic. You know what it is. And I remember saying to myself, God, you know, it irked me. You know, it bugged me all night to think that, like, why would somebody, I mean, my jokes, I'm not, like, my jokes are, you know, I deal with race and stuff, but right. I'm not saying bad things about anybody.
Right. You know? Right,
and,
right.
And that really irked me until somebody asked me, one of the person in the festival says, you're all right? And I go, you know, and I'm pretty outgoing. I don't like, it's hard for me not to speak.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm like, sometimes if something's on my chest, I'll just say it. You know what I mean? Which my wife hates. Like when I go to an open mic, if somebody's eating a dick on stage, I'll be like, and then my wife will be like, stop making those faces. Other comics are looking at you. They're going to say shit. I'm like, I just can't help it. But, you know, I actually mentioned it to somebody. I said, you know, I'm just really upset because this particular person called me a racist last night on stage. And they were like, what? I'm like, whatever. You know what I mean? But it is what it is. And
well, think about it, Dougie. We're comics first, man. So I'm going to tell you right now, I've been around some premises and some jokes and punchlines that have been hilarious, but you question what this person's beliefs are, or what, you know what I mean? But I'm a comic first, man. So I got to listen to the joke. And I think if it comes from a place of hate, you can sense that.
Yeah.
And I never really get that too often. But when you're making a joke about something that's a reality and it maybe rubs somebody the wrong way, that's that individual's problem. And you probably shouldn't go to a comedy club. You know,
yeah.
It's a joke. Yeah. And I've learned that. I've learned I have to laugh at myself sometimes. And, you know, I'm opinionated. There's a lot of things that don't sit well with me. But if you create something that there's a truth to it and it's a reality and you make it funny, I can't disregard that genius, you know? So I think people just, that's stupid, man. Like if that means to me, you picked up what you thought and you drew a conclusion about some shit you really didn't understand. And then you made a comment, and that's part of being intelligent, right?
Yeah. And that was the thing that irked me. Like you said, I can hear something and I could go, oh, you know, that's kind of, and I'll take it, whatever. But then to go on stage after and then say something about that person, because that to me is a big no-no. You don't go on stage and say something about the performer ahead of you, because A, that person can't go back up there and say in defense or say anything to counter, right? And it's kind of like, it was just one of those things. But you're right. I mean, I always learned that if it's funny, regardless what it is, if it's funny and it comes from that place, like you said, it's funny, then it's funny.
Remember when Dave Chappelle, when Kramer, I call him Kramer, but he had that rough patch years ago at the Laugh Factory. And I'm still a fan of his gift. The dude was hilarious on the show. He just, like Chappelle said, he had a bad night. You know what I'm saying? And it's unfortunate that he lost it in that instance, but he's still a person. It doesn't change the fact that the person that agitated him was also in the wrong, because the platform is for this man to tell jokes, and doesn't justify him losing it to that extent. But the reality was Dave didn't take offense to it. He just said he had a bad night, you know, and we're human beings. We make mistakes. We say shit, we do shit. And this whole, you know, cancel culture is different now. It's a different animal. I mean,
do you see it kind of lightening up a little bit? I know we're starting to see some cracks in the woke culture, in a sense where people are fighting it. You know, you got guys like Joe Rogan. You got somebody tried to cancel him and he's like, you can't cancel me. And there's certain things, like people are overreacting to things. Like there's some people now, like Bill Maher, you know, came out. He's like a libertarian and this and that, but he's come out and said some stuff like, look, no wonder, his famous quote was, no wonder people hate Democrats, because they judge, like, it's the hypocrisy. You know what I mean? I don't mind if somebody feels strong about something and you are upset about something, that you got to respect that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But when somebody You know, it's almost like this thing that happened in the parade. You know, I'm all, listen, I am all for every individual to make their own decisions. You know, the only person I ever need to answer to would be my parents and God. You know, right. So I'm not here. If you don't like what I'm doing, you know what I mean? I really don't care. You know what I mean? As long as I'm not upsetting people, you know what I mean? I'm hurting. So I'm not going to ever tell somebody else what to do. I don't even know what I'm going to do. You know, it's like, I think that's a big problem. So many people out there are so worried about other people are doing that they are completely neglecting their own self, you know, and that's why people are losing themselves. They don't have any real.
Yeah, you judge but not be judged, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a reality. It's like, my shit don't stink, but yours does.
Yeah.
Don't tell me my shit stinks because you're wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
shit smells great.
Yeah, man, know? It's delicious, by the way. And you know, but that's the thing. It's like the battle between the gay community and the religious community. You know, I get it. You know, people should make their own decisions. If somebody in the religious side condemns that person, you shouldn't be judging that. Let them make their own decisions. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, the gay community can't tell the religious community that their feelings are stupid and fucked up. That's just the way they are. You know what I mean? It's a lack of respect. It's just this thing on both sides where neither one of them are right when they push that envelope. And that's usually a bit concerning. Well, let's do this. Let's go right to the news because, you know, you and I talked about this and I could tell you like the news. You stay up and watch the news.
I do, man. But I'm also, my wife will always sell. Share stories with me about things. And because, man, it's somewhat depressing sometimes. It's like, you know, you talk about unifying, but there's always this, it's these two sides, you know what I mean? So it gets to be depressing. It's like, man, I the idea that I think my man was just talking about of us just being able to get into a room without having either side and just have a conversation and come to agreement without having, you know, think about how much the world would be different if we could just have a conversation and not have sides. Yeah. It'd just be us trying to unify and figure a way to do it.
Because too many people get into it about being right. It, you know, to me, we don't know we're right until we're dead. You know, you don't know the truth until the truth shows itself. You don't know fact until facts become fact. You know, sometimes that's the way life is. You don't like this whole thing about this whole discussion now about where did the COVID-19 come from? Did it come from a bat or did it get released purposely or mistakenly from a Chinese lab? Right.
That's right.
Yeah, people will be like, oh, you're being racist by blaming China. You know, it's like the guy who was on Colbert, you know, he says it came from a Wuhan lab known for COVID-19. You know, I mean, there's certain things. So, but you have, that's the thing. It's all about being right. People just are so scared to look stupid that they have to project this thing like they're smarter than others. And in reality, you know, like I studied philosophy in college and, you know, Socratic beliefs are like Socrates was considered one of the smartest people in the world because he claimed to know nothing.
Yeah.
Like he was always a student. He would say, I don't know. Tell me what piety means. Well, it means it's what the gods love. Well, don't the gods love different things? Well, yeah. Well, that's not an answer. You're being a dick, Socrates. You know, I mean, it was just one of those things. And you know, that's always the thing I've always tried to, I've never tried to say I've learned it. I understand it. You know, I completely get it. I'm always ready to take it in. So, well, here's a great story. Imagine being in a relationship. You've been in a relationship where it's been up and down.
Absolutely.
Like, right. And you didn't know if it's going to last and you say, okay, what am I going to do?
I've been with my wife since I was 15. She's Latino. I had no choice. So there's no if it's gonna last. I mean, that shit is locked in stone.
Like it or not.
Let's make that clear. no escape.
You ain't leaving me. Oh, that's hilarious.
You can think about it, but it ain't gonna happen.
Yeah. Well, this couple, Ukrainian couple, they were having some problems, and they decided that they were gonna handcuff themselves to each other, to see if the first of all. That's doomed, right? I mean, if your buddy said, hey, me and my girl are going to handcuff each other for the next 6 months to see if it's going to work, you would say it's going to end badly.
That's some sick therapy as far as I'm concerned. I don't want to share that level of closeness. That makes it worse. Bitch, I don't like you at all now. I got to wipe my ass with you by me. I got, you know what I'm saying? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, after 123 days handcuffed together to save their off-again relationship, Ukrainians Alexander Kudlay and Victoria Pustovitova have split up. Surprise. Yeah. Shredding their bonds on national TV, saying...
No shit!
Yeah. they might as well have just gotten married.
They should have just talked to a therapist and they'd have been like, you don't need to be together. You need to be apart, assholes. Like, right. the handcuff shit is not good for unity I don't understand.
Let's see if this worked.
Yeah, that's the stupidest shit ever. I don't know. I want to know who gave them that idea.
Well, like, you know, they like, thought you know of what? It. This is a situation where they thought of it themselves, right?
Oh, man.
So like you said, it would have been much better if they had just gotten like a counselor, you know what I mean? Like, you know, to work things out. You know, I like chocolate. She likes vanilla. You know, she likes soap operas. I like sports. We'll get two TVs, because my wife watches all those crime shows and detective shows and shit. Meanwhile, the NBA playoffs are on and stuff, and we got a new 85-inch TV in the house, and she's watching that fucking show. And I'll just sit there and go, you watching? This is Mike. Oh, you watching this now?
Yeah, but I mean, handcuffed. I mean. That is just, I mean, I'm gonna be honest with you. I spend a lot of time with my wife and there's times, and we've been together so long now, it's like we breathe, our heart rates are probably unlocked and, but there's moments where we just have to be apart, you know, and 123 days, side by side, holding each other's, well, not even holding hands, like locked down. There's going to be some animosity. Like there's no way of going around it.
And like you said, you got to take a dump. I mean, alone, you know, you don't want them there. You know, that's been a deal breaker. I've been in love with women and I've been in the same room where they took a dump and it was over.
It's a wrap. COVID has changed that because you had to be in a house. Like, I'm going to tell you right now, I've been with my wife so long that I can honestly say I've never, like, thought about her taking a dump. Like now, like I think one time I came home and I went upstairs and she was doing her business and wrapping up and it was this awkward, what the fuck just happened? Like I didn't know what he was saying because I was like, did you just shit?
I didn't know you did that.
You know, but I knew it happened, but there was no discussion because it was so uncomfortable. So for me to be handcuffed with her and then have to physically watch her take a shit and then pinch it off? Fuck no. It would ruin the relationship.
Watch how they actually wipe their ass?
Yeah, well, 123 days of that? That's not good. No.
Yeah, well, it ended. Who's surprised? Well, here's another. It could have went worse. Here's a story. Husband arrested for murder of missing Colorado woman who moved to the U.S. for love. Aw, he's a great guy.
Whoa. So where was he from? He's
from he lives in Colorado. He met her. I guess they're in the military. She's in Japan.
Okay.
So Dane Kalungi, 38, was arrested, charged with first-degree murder in the death of Jepsy Amaga Kalungi, 26. Well, she's 12 years younger, who was missing since April 2019. She was found Kalungi was found trying to get onto an Air Force base in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Probably ran into Steven.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Dane Kalungi was taken into custody. This is the part that I thought was hilarious. because, you know, well, listen, if your wife was missing, God forbid if your wife was missing, right?
Dougie, I love that you find hilarity out of somebody's spouse being missing.
Well, this is
okay.
It's just the story, you know what I mean? Because, like you said, with the kids, you know when somebody's lying. Like,
right?
Like, if somebody came to me, like if my wife was missing for like a year, and I said, her husband maintained that he told that the wife told him she was going to visit friends in either Philippines, where she's emigrated from, or Chicago. I don't know. I think my wife is either in the Philippines or Chicago.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, you know where your wife is right now, I bet.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Where's your wife? I don't know. She's either at the grocery store or at a men's strip bar. I don't know. You know, right there, the guy was, you know, he was screwed.
Yeah, so, it's hilarious.
You know, he got busted.
The jokes write themselves. Dougie.
That's right. You would think in China, by the way, the WeChat bans nose picking, spanking in a bid to clean up live streams. You know, people are pigs. You know what I mean? I mean, if we've learned anything through this pandemic, is that the more you've been around people, you learn that they're pigs. Like,
wait a minute. So that's the shock value. He's picking his boogers to get followers. Is that what you just said, Dougie?
The Chinese are looking at these people on WeChat. Look at that guy. He's a pick of his nose. Chinese social media platform WeChat on Thursday published a list of activities and violations it is banning in the bid to clean up live streaming. Everything from scratching your ass, scratching your balls, picking your nose, burping, taking off your clothes, going to the bathroom.
You got to be worried more about the people that are watching this shit, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, who the fuck is... Who's just sitting there just picking their toe lint and just putting it in their mouth, and then there's an audience. You got 1,000 viewers. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is some sick shit, man. Like, I can't get 235 views of some regular shit. But if I pick my nose and... I mean, I don't get it, bro. This is crazy.
I post a killer 5 minutes of comedy. I get 10 fucking views. Yeah. This guy's scratching his balls. He's got 1,000 views.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Chinese closely regulate internet and has been increasingly clamping down on content that is politically or socially sensitive. Of course, they don't want them to say things about China and the government.
Right.
Besides no picking and other vulgar activities, they're banned, including putting underwear over one's head and focusing on the camera's lens on the sensitive parts of the body, chest, buttocks. Wow. Yeah.
Mm.
So,
hey man, the Dr. Pimple Popper, she's very popular. You know what I mean? So it just doesn't surprise me anymore with content. Yeah. It's just the world we live in. Just some sick shit. You know, I don't get it, man. I hope that the people that are watching get their ass beat by somebody because it's shit's inappropriate.
I think eventually all that shit will die away. This story only got my attention. You're going to wonder why I'm laughing at this. But in South Carolina, my new home here, court halts executions until firing squad is available. imagine. Here's the thing. Because.
Whoa.
All right. Here we go. A high court in the U.S. state of South Carolina has blocked two executions until the inmates are given the choice of death by execution or electrocution or firing squad. So put yourself in these poor bastard shoes. If you had a choice between a firing squad or electric chair, which way would you go?
If you getting popped in the dome, Dougie?
I mean, they're firing. I mean, I imagine the fire squad ain't gonna aim at your balls.
Yeah.
How cruel would that be?
Ten people with guns
all knock you right in the nuts. You're like, I'm not dead. I just can't. My dick fucking hurts.
Well, what if everybody's a bad shot and you have to go through just what if these assholes can't shoot or they're just like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the part you got to think about. Either way, it sucks. But
well, there's been cases where people in an electric chair have lived because the electric didn't go through as well or some shit.
Right.
I mean, lethal injection is probably the best.
Yeah, I'd take that, man.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't know, a firing squad or electric chair. I mean,
How about you get to a point in your life where you don't have to do something fucked up so you don't have to make that goddamn decision in the first place? Let's work on that shit right there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the thing. I don't even want to be a part of it. But if I had to make a choice between a bullet and lethal injection and electricity, I don't like electricity. That shit hurts. The dryer fucked me up one time. I have been shot in my forearm by 22. That shit was horrible. Yeah. And I think I'm going to go with the lethal injection to keep it 100. Yeah. And I'm not a fan of heroin.
but, might as well. Shoot that shit at me.
You know what I mean? Let me just go in peace. You know what I'm saying?
Here's a story. Dozen of women sue Pornhub alleging it published unconsensual clips. Boy, those amateur videos.
Oh, wow. Okay. So your boyfriend shot a video and then downloaded the shit to Pornhub. And then the girl is getting a lot of views and she's not getting paid. So she's upset or
didn't want it disclosed. I remember a long time ago, some girls had asked me to go to a hotel room to do something and they were going to film it. I said, don't worry. We can put a mask over your face. I'm like, that ain't going to make a difference with me. People are going to recognize my ass with a fucking mask over my face. They'll just see my body and go, that's Dougie.
Oh, man, that's crazy. So, I mean, are they offering like some type of compensation for the videos that did well? Or is it just, you know, because if you don't have no views, why are you complaining? Like if you've got 12 views, your shit wasn't that great anyways. But yeah, if you've got millions of views and, you know, there's some, I mean, I don't know. That's tough. That sucks. It sucks for the girls too, man, especially if their family and their uncles and grandfathers is on Pornhub and all of a sudden they see their niece just getting it in.
They're on the couch. They're on the couch at Thanksgiving dinner.
Hey, let's watch this. Can you believe this? And then, look, this is your niece. man, that's terrible.
Terrible. Pornhub says about 30 different Jane Does alleged the suit that they were victimized and unauthorized video uploaded. Pornhub denied the allegations as they would. Why don't we trust the efficacy of the Pornhub? Has zero tolerance for legal content. But yeah, that happens. You know what I mean? Those amateur videos. Amateur videos are kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. My wife's standing here, so I don't watch that shit. But all I know is that 30 women, they got videotaped with a camera on, right? That somebody was shooting something. You have to have a little bit of intelligence to say, more than likely that this shit's going to be shared with a bunch of people, because you know that's a real thing. Like, what dude is not going to want to be like, hey, Chip,
like, check this for myself.
Yeah, and you just have it like on your phone, taking up space. No, you're going to share it, and then you messed up right there when you just agreed to do this. You know what?
That's one thing about my wife. God bless her. Like, you know, I always say, hey, let's video it for fun, and she's like, you ain't ever videoing me for shit. that's why I married her. Florida man allegedly pulls gun on Starbucks employee over a botched order, but doesn't realize that the employee was the daughter of a police chief.
Oops.
When Florida man allegedly pulled a gun on Starbucks drive-thru, irate over botched order, he unwittingly brandished the firearm to local police chief's daughter who was working the counter in Miami Gardens.
Man, you having a bad day if you fucked up the macchiato and you want to pull a gun out on somebody. That's,
you know what I'm saying? People just fucking losing it. You know what I mean? It's like you're gonna risk your life, your everything going on in your world over a fucking latte. Like, we had a story last week, a guy lost, he was gonna kill everybody in McDonald's because they fucked up his Happy Meal. I'm like, well, first of all, what grown man is fucking eating a Happy Meal? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I never ate a Happy Meal when I was 10.
Yeah, I don't understand it, man. And then you got a question like, what's going on with this person? And that needs to be like a federal watch type thing when you have somebody doing shit like that, because that's a problem. If you're that frustrated in your life, there's some shit. There's some red flag.
When they talk about gun control, you take the gun from that fucking guy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That is somebody, by all means, you want gun control, let it start there. Another story, 42,000 pounds of missing pistachios leads to possible legal pistachio operation. Turns out a big elephant was stealing them.
What is pistachios going for a pound?
Oh, they're delicious. Do you like pistachios?
I love them. They're not cheap, though.
No, they're not.
It's a big-time hustle now. We're talking about, I mean, pistachios and avocados is big, big business.
Yeah.
But pistachios, shit, 47,000 pounds, that's bread. That's cocaine numbers.
That's a bale. That's huge bales. When a pistachio company in California noticed that thousands of pounds of their main product had gone missing, it opened an investigation. It appears that a truck driver may have been running an illegal pistachio operation out of his truck yard. So he would take the trucks, fucking bring them somewhere, and they'd put them in smaller packages and sell on themselves.
Mm.
Hustle. So somebody comes up to you, Keen, goes, hey, man, I got an idea. Easy. All you got to do is get a bunch of your Glad bags and meet me by my truck.
I got these nuts, player. Just scratching your neck and shit.
I got these nuts.
I got these nuts. That's hilarious.
Oh,
I got some type of hustle, man. I mean, selling nuts, stealing nuts is, I mean, it's money, though.
Yeah.
It's fucking money.
If people would just redirect some of this thought into something, you know, as creative but legal, you know what I mean? Sometimes people don't get it. There was a It had been moved from, according to the report, it was eventually discovered that a tractor trailer had been moved from the Montemayor trucking lot in Delano to a nearby unnamed lot. Where it was discovered that the pistachios were in 2,000-pound sacks and then broken down by some poor schmuck who
helped
me separate the pistachios.
Yeah, he's in there. It's a sweatshop of bagging pistachios. They're naked, too, the guys that are bagging them.
Yeah. Don't be stealing them pistachios.
It's like that scene in New Jack City and shit, and they're all naked and their titties are out. And
what a great movie, huh?
Yeah, it's a great movie. But yeah, I don't know, man. I've never thought about stealing pistachios in my head. But if it's whatever the hustle it may be, if it's that bad out there, I don't know what to say. Yeah,
there's got
to
be another way, man. There's got to be.
They didn't kill anybody. You know what I mean? Oh. So, I hope. I'm curious about the value. That's the one thing I want to know. I want to know what a pound. I mean, a bag of pistachios is like $15-16.
Yeah. And 10,000.
So multiply that times 40. How many thousands of pounds?
Let's see. There's a lot.
I mean, if we're talking about 10, 12, 15,000 pounds, that's not very difficult math to figure out. That's a lot of money.
42,000 pounds.
42,000. Yeah, that's bread.
Yeah, we're talking a couple hundred grand.
Yeah, that's crazy. Man. Yeah.
Damn.
I did come across some salt and pepper pistachios at the swap meet the other day for cheap. And I wonder if that was that. It was like $9 a pound. That was a dude. And
was it in a Glad bag? Put a little sticker on it.
And the dude next to him was selling dildos out of a package. In a package. So I don't know. What.
He was seeing dildos and cock rings. Fresh off the truck. Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, listen, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Right on, brother.
I want to thank Key Lewis for joining me today, of course. My new friend from the California area and fellow comic. And also for Stephen Michael Quesada, who joined us. And thank you for joining us, Stephen, with everything going on today and everything going on in your family. Appreciate you joining us today. And Key, what you got coming up, man?
Hey, man, I am excited, brother. I'm going to be in Flagstaff here in July. Also, I think the long shot, though, for the troops, man, in November, I'm going to be going overseas to perform over there in Egypt and Jordan and give back to the troops, man. And if you want to check out the dates that I didn't mention, please get on my funny boy. I'm sorry, not funny boy. Get on at Key Lewis is funny on Instagram and on Facebook and see what dates I got coming up, man. But constantly just trying to work, brother, and get this calendar built back up and share the funny with the world. That's the game.
I hear you. By the way, this Saturday, I'm going to be at the Harrah's in Cherokee, North Carolina, opening for John Reap. That was pretty exciting. And,
nice.
Yeah, for more dates, go to DougieAlmeida.com. Going to head back to Florida for July 4th and got some Florida dates there. So check that out. My Florida friends, come see me. And buddy, good to see you. God bless.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to getting that wave, man. I can't wait to come rock with you, brother. We got to get that going.
Yeah, we got some rooms down here in Florida. I got some rooms in Florida. I'd love to have you go before, Matt. So if you ever want to come out and spend a few days.
Man, it's nothing.
Hit me up.
I'm there.
There you go.
Hey, brother, I appreciate you, man.
Thanks for joining us, my friend. Nice meeting you. Great to get to know you.
Absolutely.
And I look forward for hanging in the future, man.
That's what's up, man. Take care of yourself.
There you go. And all you listeners and watchers out there, thank you for joining us. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie and follow us on Instagram at the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show and join our fan page where we air this, of course. And our YouTube channels at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Chris, back at the studios. We're ready to end this bitch. And we're going to go eat some pistachios.
That's right.
And we're going to be good. So we ready? We're about to say goodbye.
Later.
Right. Wake up!
Wake up!
I'm not psycho!
Wake up.
Wake up!